And I'm joined by Rob Sanderson. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
And it's lovely to have you on my show. I've been trying to get hold of Rob for some time. Rob is a Cambridge boy. He was born in Mill Road Hospital, which is just around the corner from here.
Indeed.
Yeah. Ditchburn Place, as it is now. You went to the Brunswick Primary, not there anymore?
No, unfortunately, or fortunately, in some ways, yeah.
Not good memories there, or good memories?
Good and bad, good and bad.
Okay, yeah. You didn't try to set fire to the school or something like that?
We won't go there.
No. And then you moved on to the Manor, which of course is still there.
Indeed, yes, yeah, that was, in its time, that was a very good school.
Yeah, know, I think it's getting better, isn't it? I think it's improved again. So, you grew up the whole decade of the 70s in Cambridge.
I did, yes, yeah.
And what was it like?
Well, what was it like? Do you mean the place or?
Just the place. I mean, comparing it as it is now.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, there was a lot less traffic. That's for one thing. It was unlike now. I think one of the big memories is really the diversity of, say, shops and things. There was a lot of local shops. We had a big department store in the middle of the city called Eden Lily that was there for a long time. Joshua Taylor's was a sort of clothes type shop, and there was much more diversity in some respects, that you didn't have the chains that you do now. Down in Fitzroy Street, there was a very famous store called Laurie McConnell's. Laurie McConnell, that was there for many years.
It's still, the actual building's still there, isn't it?
The building is still there. I'm not sure if the bell tower, it might
it's
still...
It's the bandstand.
Oh, it's the bandstand,
yeah, the top,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah. That is still...
Yeah. It's Wilco now, isn't it?
Well, I think there's a number of it was almost the whole length of that side, you know. So there's a whole number of stalls, that are shops that are there, but
And of course, it didn't have HMV for a little while.
No. Well,
what was HMV then?
HMV was back in the Lion Yard before it went there.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I thought they moved out there as well. They had two stores at one point.
No. Okay. They moved out. But that always seemed to be a mistake because it was such a large expanse. And that was unfortunately the problem with Laurie McConnell's, that I think a lot of people, before the Grafton Centre... I think they were struggling by the late 60s or 70s, certainly, because people just weren't coming that way. And there was always talk about the kite development.
Because that's new, isn't it? The Grafton Centre.
The Grafton Centre, yeah. I think that was built in 81, I think, finally.
You
know, after a long time.
You remember it opening?
No, because I was... I was doing my degree in Manchester at that time. But I remember the big controversy about the kite. There was this old sort of bit rundown area, but with all quaint shops and things there was a big local campaign to save the area and presumably keep it as it was, but it needed regeneration and a lot of money put in. Yeah. But in the end, what was really going to come along was this big development, Grafton Centre. And even, funnily enough, even to this day, I've got a friend of mine, Nick Bagnall, who will still not go into the Grafton after all these years.
Wow.
He's
a man with a grudge.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot of strong feeling.
Yeah,
you know, in fact, I think some of the Cambridge dons bought up a shop there called the Cambridge, I think it was Cambridge Free Press, you know, to try and sort of like keep it there. And they were saying they would never sell it, so the development would have to be built around them, you know. And they said, well, we'd be quite happy if our little shop is there. And, you know, this great big building with glass,
<It's right next laughs>
roof, or in it,
in
even,
it, yes.
even built around it.
Yes. So. Well, one of the main reasons that I've invited you on the show is because your knowledge of 70s music is quite outstanding, if not amazing. Also, your CD collection is amazing. You explain how many CDs do you have, Rob?
I think I've got about 7,500.
Wow. And where do you store them all?
That would be a moot point with my wife, actually, because they are everywhere. And I mean everywhere. They're under, they're in boxes under my bed, in all the beds in the house. My poor old, even my daughter is now getting styled out. There's not much room to move, actually. And the lottery doesn't seem to come along and give me the house that I really need.
To store all the CDs in a beauty.
Exactly.
Well, the obvious question I need to ask you is, why the 70s? Why is that decade musically so good for you?
Obviously, I am prejudiced because I'm growing up in it, but I would say people with the 50s will say, you know, rock and roll in the 50s was the first thing that kicked off things, and then the 60s with the Beatles, and then we had psychedelia. But 70s was almost a continuation, but it also had its own strands of music, really. On one hand, you had, coming out of psychedelia, progressive rock, prog rock, which is much derided these days. But in its day, it was a great musical form, and, you know, there's a lot of great groups that eventually went too far, which is why things had to change. And, that brings... On the chart-wise, there was a phenomenon called glam rock, which was very big in the early 70s to about mid-70s. And when it carried on a bit too long, it was starting to die in about 75. And so by then, you were looking for something else to come along for, you know, the young kids, because the prog rock dinosaurs, as they started to be called, were just, you know, they were too big. They were selling out these huge... you know, aircraft caverns of halls, that you just couldn't get a ticket. And, you know, that was also true of groups like the Stones and the Who. And so what was looked for young kids was something that was cheap and immediate. And then, of course, we had punk rock came along, which I loved at the time and got well into. And that was needed. It was a breath of fresh air, you know. I mean, more elderly people, shall we say, yes. And even like people of a more middle of the road persuasion.
My dad didn't like it.
No, my dad hated it, and most people did. Even a lot of music fans, of course, didn't like it. But the thing was, it was needed, and
it was
a lot
fresh,
of good groups, yeah, and a lot of really good groups came out of it. You know, that started. But I could go on, you know.
Yeah, I know. You love your 70s.
Yeah, yeah. And people forget, but actually Two Tone started in 79. You know, the first records by Madness and Specials was 79. So in fact, you can say that was also a 70s musical movement.
It's just so different, isn't it? The music was just so varied.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I loved about it. I liked it. Oh, and of course, disco. You know,
disco. I love disco.
Yeah, there you are. And even though, like, there were camps, I think if you were boys and that, you tended to like more heavier, you know, sort of harder music, like, rock and stuff. But even I bought a few disco things. And later on, when I went to college, and I think, you know, some of the girls used to take us to nightclubs, and you went along.
Yeah, you
and then you sort of got into it all. And, you know, so I like disco and that now as well.
Well, you've picked... The first track that you've picked out for me is from, well, they're a relatively local band. They're an East Anglian band, aren't they, really? Would you classify, is it Canvey Island?
Oh, Canvey Island.
We'll call it East Anglia.
Essex, yeah.
Why have you gone for Dr. Feelgood?
Dr. Feelgood was the first live band I ever saw. In 75. I didn't know much about them other than they were getting a really big reputation, you know, as a great live band. And so I didn't know what to expect. I'd been wanting to go and see a live band. There was a couple of us at the Manor that were well into our music, and we just decided, you know, we were about that age, 14, 15, that we wanted to go and see some live bands, see what it was like, you know. And originally I was going to go and see a band called Camel, which was a progressive rock band, but I was ill. So it, by default, it was Dr. Feelgood, and I'm so glad, because we just caught them when they were really taking off. And the particular track you're playing, I didn't know it, but it was catchy enough. It had a great riff and a strong sort of, if you like, hook. And I actually came out knowing the song. And so this is well before Milk and Alcohol and, you know, the big hits that they had.
Here's Dr. Feelgood, and She Does It Right. And Rob, talk about the shops that you used to go to buy, you're such a music lover, your music.
Well, the thing in the 70s, especially the early 70s, there was no such thing as Virgin Records or HMV or any of the big, you know, what would later be the chain stores. So, in fact, the main shops to go to would actually be Woolworths and Boots, but especially Miller's, which at that time was in Sydney Street, where Trailfinders is now.
Yep.
And so that was, you know, not only an instruments shop, but it sold singles and albums and had, you know, good selection. And they also had, what was the great thing in those days, they had listening booths so that you could actually, you could go up to the, you could go up to the counter and say, you know, if, for an example, I think I wanted to hear John and Many Dancing, David Bowie. So you go up and say, could I hear this record? And, you know, that was a way, you know, and they were quite always happy to do that.
And that was in the 70s?
That was in the 70s, yeah. So it's not just the 60s. Often you see those things in the 60s on programmes on the 60s. But, yeah, they were still there.
What about Andy's Records? Was he there?
Andy's Records, yeah. He started on the market, in a stall on the market, probably very early 70s. Certainly, you know, I bought a lot of my albums later there because at that time, around the early 70s, you're looking at an album costing £2.50. Andy's were selling them for £2 because they bought them in, you know, bulk, and that was a lot of money then, you know. Singles in those days were about 50p. So, you know, it made a difference, you know. So that was the main thing.
And did you sort of, because I know you've got a younger sister, did you sort of keep your records away from her, you know? Were they your prized possessions?
I would say there's 14 years difference, so I don't think there was an issue really with that particularly. That wasn't a problem. Another record shop I must mention was in King Street called Golden Oldies, and that was run by Cambridge entrepreneur who was good on the music scene in Cambridge called Lee Wood. And it was, it was called Remember Those Oldies. Oh. And that was actually the first sort of nostalgia type shop, which not only sold, you know, current stuff, but mainly it was like rock and roll, 60s and 70s. And Lee Wood actually formed a record label called Raw Records, which released a lot of the local Cambridge bands.
Oh.
And is also responsible for one of the first punk singles by a Cambridge band called The Users. And that was on his own label. And that is, you know, another day I should perhaps play it.
Your next track is Mott Hoople and All the Young Dudes.
Yeah.
Why?
I think this is one of the great anthems of the 70s. That and School's Out, you know, this is personal, probably my favourite two singles of all time. And this was actually given to Mott the Hoople, who were a band who were failing, by David Bowie, who wasn't that well known at that point. Ziggy Stardust hadn't broke at that point. And so to actually give away, and Mott the Hoople realised it straight away, a great song, you know, was so generous of him. And I just think it's a wonderful record.
Well, I'm having such a good time talking to Rob that I'm not going to get his last track in before the news. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about it up to the news and then play it when we come straight out. But first of all, Rob, what bands did you see in the 70s in Cambridge?
What bands did I see? Well, obviously, Dr. Feelgood, I've mentioned. I saw them the next year, I saw them, and they were number one in the charts with their live album. That's how big they became, because it was just a fantastic live act. And then the big thing that came along after that was punk rock. And I saw The Damned, supported by The Adverts. Adverts had a big hit later called Looking Through Gary Gilmore's Eyes. The Damned had the distinction of being the first punk band to have a single out, and that was before the Sex Pistols, and it's a great single, and so that's why I've picked that.
Yeah, we've got that to come out of there.
Other bands I saw in 77 was the year, The Stranglers, supported by The Only Ones, who later had a very big hit with a track, Another Girl, Another Planet. Stranglers, as you know, were big and had a lot of hits.
I love The Stranglers.
Yeah, yeah. excellent live band. Who else? Christmas Eve, 77, I saw The Ramones, supported by The Rizzillos. These were all at the what was then a horrible venue, intended to be the only venue in Cambridge for big bands or bands. That was the Corn Exchange, which was a horrible acoustic setup. It was all on one level at that time, and it didn't look much different from when it was clearly a corn exchange. Just had a stage and lights at one end.
But it's much improved. We have to say it's much improved.
It is indeed. It's a very good venue now, and you've got that upper tier with the seats. None of that was there. It was all on one level, you know, the ground level.
And you've never recovered from seeing Motorhead, have you? Your ears are still ringing.
Yeah, no.
You've got to your chest, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, that was not that long ago. ago, but I'd seen them back in their heyday with the original lineup back in 79. Bomber tour, but no, yeah. I definitely decided, although I'd gone to pay tribute to go and see Lemmy after about 30 years, I decided that was enough.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Rob. Thank you very much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
We're going to play the Damned and New Rose for you after the news, which is coming up right now.